Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Let's worship him. No place I'd rather be, so let's go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Let's sing that war cry together a cappella. Let's go. Oh. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the Spirit of the Lord on my sister. Oh, Lord, that just sucked us into a vortex of worship. Hallelujah, that he is doing great things in your life even now, because like Isaiah, you said, I will go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First and foremost, I want to thank God for being God. Because he's awesome and he's wonderful, and without him, there'd be no us, there'd be no me, there'd be no you. We'd have no life without him. He is life personified. Ooh, I thank you, Jesus, for all the guests in the house. I praise God for all of you, everyone that has come. It is not by accident that you have come. God has led you here, and I just thank God and bless the Lord, and there is a word for you today, and I thank God for my ALM family. I love you guys. You're all awesome. I see the God in each and every one of you. You're beautiful people. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank God for him using you all to make a change. Yes, you all to make a change in the city of Oakland, being a branch of Zion. I thank the Lord for Reverend Tamara. Reverend Tamara, your humility and just beauty astounds me. You're such a truly beautiful person on the inside, radiating out. And I don't believe you're 73, even though you say this every time. Thank you, Jesus. And last but not least, I praise God for my pastor. You can do better than that. I praise God for my pastor. If it weren't for her, I wouldn't be up here preaching nothing anyway. So I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for answering the call and continuing to answer the call when it gets difficult, because the call, it doesn't stop one time. You're like, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. It's a continuing to say yes. It's a continual yes unto the Lord. Amen? And I thank God for the Holy Ghost one more time. Hallelujah! Yeah! Sandwich it between thanking God for him and thanking God for him. And so let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on us. We need a word from you, Lord God. I do not exclude myself from what is being preached, but only pray that it is sown into my hearts as well as the hearts of the people in the name of Jesus. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying to us today. And Lord, I'm available to you. I don't have any glory or any talents or any gifts or anything on my own, but my full confidence is in you. All that I have is yours. All that I am is yours. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, amen. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, Jesus and the disciples have just been finished feeding 5,000 men only, you know what I'm saying? So that includes women and children, doesn't include women and children. And he's telling the disciples to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples are looking at him like, it's because we forgot the bread that he's talking about all this. We forgot the bread, blood. Why don't you do that? We've forgotten, so now he's upset. He's angry. Afterwards, Jesus was like, how can you still think that I am talking about bread? And he explained to them that the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was their teaching. He was addressing the teaching of the yeast and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't want the teachings of the Pharisees to sow themselves into the breads of the beliefs of the disciples. So by this time in this series, we've been talking all along about health and about wellness. And we have to know that God isn't just talking about bread. He isn't just talking about food. He isn't just talking about exercise. He isn't just talking about your fasting. He isn't just talking about the physical, but he's talking about what he's doing in our spirits. He's addressing our beliefs, because the truth of the matter is, I could go on a diet today and say I'm going to be vegan and pescatarian on Sundays, but if my belief system is wrong in here and in here, it won't stick. It won't stick, and I won't continue to go forward in what God is calling me to do. See, God works from the inside out, amen? And so today, I'm going to come to you from the theme, we are what we eat. Y'all going to help me preach it today? Y'all going to help me preach it today? All right. So not just physically, we aren't just what we eat physically, but what we take in and consume into our spirits, amen? And so we are taking our opinion around the corner, right? That's the name of our yearly theme. Oh, it took a little too long for that. We're not taking our opinion around the corner as our yearly theme. Praise the Lord. We're taking his word to the... We're taking his... One more time all together. We're taking his word to the world. And family, as we take his word to the world, we cannot be bogged down by the fruit of the world and the thinking of the world and the belief system of the world. If we're going to take God's word to it, we cannot have the leaven of the world saturating what we're taking to the people. Amen? So if I'm going to take some fruit to some people, it cannot be rotten. It cannot be undesirable. I cannot take to someone something that is of no nutritional value. Y'all got it? All right. And so in our taking his word to the world, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going back, way back, back in the time, in the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. And so let me tell you a little bit about Genesis. Genesis, the first five books of the Bible, Moses wrote these first five books. And so he was always on the mountain with the Lord. He was in such a deep place with the Lord that God called him friend. Isn't that a beautiful thing where you're so close and so connected to God that you are considered God's friend, that God would change your mind based on him saying, hold on, Lord, don't kill off all the people. You know, you brought them all the way out of Egypt. Please don't kill them off. And it said literally in the Bible that God changed his mind. He was going to kill off the children of Israel and make Moses into a great nation. So this is how close Moses was to God, right? Right? And so here's what's happening now. We're going to the beginning, because God gave Moses revelation on how the world even began. So we're going to start from Genesis 3, and we're going to go from 1 to 19. And so a little background on that, Adam had just received his helpmate. He just received his helpmate. He was like, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And just loving on his newly created wife for him, right? And it says in the Bible that they were naked and not ashamed. Put a pin in that. Okay, we're going to begin reading from verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden. They were enjoying their lives. They were tending to the garden because that's what God put them for. And all of a sudden, here comes this serpent out of nowhere, more cunning, more crafty than all of the other animals, and asked, went up to the woman and questioned, what God said. I like the King James Version because he said, did God say you can't eat of every fruit? And so what he was saying, he was asking like he was trying to get some clarification, but I think it's important to see that he went to the woman. And here's why it's important to see that. She didn't receive the word from God directly. Adam did, right? And the word, so the word did not come directly to her. And I think we ought to be careful when we have all this knowledge of God based on something that someone else has said, and we have no experience of the God therein. Amen? All right? He's good. He's good and he's awesome. And what's being preached and taught to you is true. But at some point in time, we must experience the God of the Bible for ourselves. Amen? That's like me reading all of pastor's tweets and saying that I know her and never setting foot in this church, never going in her personal space or even introducing myself to her. But based on all of this Wikipedia and tweet information, I know exactly who she is. I need to have a personal experience with a person to then know the person more and more. Amen? And so it's like the Word of God, it's a textbook, you know what I'm saying? But the experiences that we have with God therein is like the lab. Amen? Come on. And so you don't have to tell me that God is a provider. You don't have to say to me, Favor, you know God is a provider, because when I had nothing, he provided for me. Amen? You don't have to tell me that God is a deliverer, because in my darkest hour, he delivered me from some stuff. Amen? You don't have to tell me that God is a forgiver, because when I was guilty, he forgave me anyway. We need to experience the God of the Bible. Amen? So what's happening is that Eve did not receive this word for himself, so she was just going off of what Adam had told her. So the convictions that Adam may have had, she didn't have, because she didn't receive that personally, amen? So like LeVar Burton says, you don't have to take my word for it. Find out that God is good for yourself. Find out that God is a healer for yourself. When you are sick and lonely, find out that God will be standing right by you for yourself. Amen? He's saying, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And then she's going to answer him, of course. She's not knowing any better. She's answering him. And I really want us to look at, as we go through this text, the reaction of the person, because if you think about it, the devil's going to do what he's going to do. What are you going to do in response to the enemy's attacks? This is a parallel drawn to our personal lives. Amen? So the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Pause. Hold up. The only person that was not godlike in that garden and in that conversation was the serpent. Oh, he created man and woman in his own image, did he not? So he was telling her a lie. You're going to become like God. She was already like God. We have to know who we are. Amen? We can't have people just telling us, oh, if you just do this. Oh my God. If you were to just tweak this little part of yourself, you'd be beautiful. I am beautiful. I know who I am. If you were to just move this part of yourself, if you were to just change your, if you were just cut this or do that, we have to figure out who we are for ourselves. Amen? So she didn't know who she was, or else she would have been like, hold up, player. Hold up, man. I am like God. Get out of my face. Come on. And so, you know, I don't know how much more godlike they could be at that point, too, because they hadn't fallen either. They were godlike, you know. And so she listened to him. She pondered what he said. And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, Why was he silent? Who was with her? Why was he not saying anything to this serpent that he had named that came up to his wife? Bruh, come on. Why was he silent? He took some and ate it too. Now, she saw that the fruit was pretty. You know, sometimes in our life, there'll be things that we ain't even thinking about, that the enemy would try to come to us and try to beguile us, try to trick us into getting into. I wasn't even thinking about that cake. I'm on a sugar fast, let's say. And all of a sudden, there are these lemon bars that people are giving away out of nowhere. Oh, it's just a little lemon bar. It's just a little, it won't make, you've been fasting from sugar all week. You've been fasting all week. You ain't been eating no sugar. It's probably mostly lemon anyway. It's a fruit, right? It's a fruit. Lemon is a part of the, you know, fruits, the five-a-day fruits and vegetables that you're supposed to have. I'm not even thinking about nobody's lemon bar, but all of a sudden I get drawn into this conversation. I'm like, wait a minute. It does look good, and they haven't had lemon bars in a while. Why are they just now having lemon bars when I'm on my fast? They have it every single week. You know I love lemon bars. You know what I'm saying? So it looked good to me. And then my stomach was like, man, that could taste really good right now. My tongue was like, oh, that could taste really good right now. And hey, if I eat some, it'll satisfy my sugar craving. We explain away what we're supposed to be really doing. We explain that away, like make excuses as to why we should not obey God. So she saw the fruit was pretty. She saw it looked like it would taste good. It would taste good, and that it might make her more wise. She ate it, and Adam ate it too. Brothers, this is a commentary of being a head of household in your house. If the Lord gave you a mandate, because brothers are the head, so they should be connected to the head that is Christ. If the Lord gave you a mandate over your house and over your household, you must heed to the word of the Lord. So what ended up happening was that the woman, she not only disobeyed God, but she obeyed the voice of the serpent. She changed masters, right? She changed masters, right? Oh, I'm getting cut too. She changed masters, right? And the man not only disobeyed God, but he obeyed the urging of his wife. Careful when God gives you the word. You've had the encounter and the experience. This is the flip side. You have had the experience with God. You have had the encounter with God. God has touched your life. You have had a testimony. He did speak to you. And then you turn away from what he has said. You better praise God for grace and mercy right now. I know I am. Thank you, Jesus. Did God not speak to him directly before even Eve was even thought of? And instead of obeying the voice of God, he turned to obey the voice of the thing that God, or the person that God created for him. Be careful when you change masters and the voice of God is speaking to you and saying, here, I will provide for you this job. I will provide for you this house. And those things, that very thing he provides for you, becomes your God. Be careful. Be careful. Oh, but the Lord is putting us up on game today, amen? He's making sure that we know. He's making sure that we know. He's calling out the lies of the enemy because this happens every day, and he's showing us that from the beginning this has been happening. But we have victory. Let's continue. My God, my God. So they moved up from a life of revelation with the Lord to a life where they had knowledge in and of themselves. And so, you know, the Bible says that man cannot live on bread alone, or fruit alone in this case, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They chose the bread alone right here. My God, my God. But so all these things happened, and their eyes were open. They were like, whoa, I'm naked. Get some fig leaves. Get some stuff. We need to cover our nudity. They were now ashamed of their vulnerability because the tree of life, they had the knowledge, but outside of the knowledge of God. Outside of God. They had knowledge, but outside of God. So they started making stuff up for themselves. Let's cover ourselves with these fig leaves and let's just hide. Make sure no one can see us. Make sure he can't see us. And so God was walking in the cool of the day and he said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? You know, if God can't find you, you are lost. Come on. Now, God knew where he was technically, but you know that that connection that they had was severed. Because Adam chose to hide. He chose to embrace that shame. And so Adam says, you know, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. How'd you know you were naked, Adam? God asked him. And then he said, who told you to eat from this tree that I told you not to eat from? And then so the story goes on with Adam blaming the woman, blaming the very thing that he just said, oh, you are flesh and bone of my bone. You are my one desire. You came from my rib. He's blaming his woman now. Huh. He just came from sweet talking to her in chapter 2. And now he's blaming her as if he didn't make the decision to disobey the voice of God. We must be careful in blaming our stuff on everyone else. Amen? Because guess what? At the end of the day, God is not going to ask you, oh, because Minister Favor cracked a couple of times on that Sunday, 3:30, 2014, I'll give you a pass for you not giving him some worship. We're created to be worshipers for ourselves, so it don't matter what I'm doing at all. I could be cracking every single note, praise, hopefully no. But you know, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. Your worship is your own because your relationship with God is your own. God does not have any grandkids. Trip off of that. That means we don't get a relationship with God based on our mama's relationship. We don't get a relationship with God based on our pastor's relationship. We don't get a relationship with God based on someone else's relationship. We must know him for ourselves. Amen? And oh my goodness, we have got to stop placing the blame on other people. We have got to stop pointing fingers at other people so that we don't take any of this responsibility. When we do something wrong, let's own up to it. Whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed, right? The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Denial is one of the most sickest, illest spirits running rampant in the body of Christ today. Because if we would stop being in denial about some stuff, we'd really get free. If we would stop being in denial about some stuff, the chains would start to break up off of us. We'd have a renewed sense of joy, a renewed sense of peace. We have to say, wash me, Lord God. Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. And so he's blaming the woman. The woman is blaming the serpent, and they're all getting punished. Point blank, they're all in trouble. And, you know, each person gets the action to their consequences falls upon them. You know, we can't just do things all willy-nilly and not expect any consequences. Yes, there is grace and mercy, but when that consequence falls on you, don't ask, where'd my grace and mercy go? Paul said we don't have grace just to tread upon it. No. You know, but see, even still in this, God had a plan. God had a plan, and I'm still talking about we are what we eat. So the enemy tries to sow yeast into our beliefs through 3 avenues. And I just praise God right now because he wouldn't have us be ignorant of Satan and his many devices. I praise God right now because he doesn't want us to be all stupid and silly about here. You know what I'm saying? This is why we come to church. We don't just come to church to hear a wonderful message and a song. You can go to a musical or Broadway for that. We come to church to get equipped by the Holy Spirit and go out into our lives and advance the kingdom of God. You don't come just to hear me sing. Come on. And so what we're going to talk about now is the three avenues that the enemy tries to come through. So we're up on game, so we know what's going on. He tries to come through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If you really look at what Eve was going through, he got through her lust, the lust of her eyes. She saw the fruit. Ooh, look. The lust of the flesh, it looks like it'll be tasty. And then the pride of life. I need to get wise because God is not caring about me. Let's go over the lust of the eyes. A lot of times, the enemy tries to get us. He dangles a carrot in front of us. He dangles this carrot in front of us to get our attention and to get us to focus on something other than God. And it could be anything. It could be a person. It could be some food. It could be an old behavior. It can be television. It could be some books that you used to read by Eric Jerome Dickey. It could be some It can be anything, right? It can be your students. It could be your family acting up. It can be your coworkers getting on your last nerves. It can be your own unwillingness to it could be anything. And so he tries to dangle stuff in front of us to see. It could be the thought of having a husband, like having it so badly that you're just willing to make anybody. I see someone right there. Here it is. He must be the one that God is calling me to go to. Right? So he tries to entice us with the lust of the eyes. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Amen? And he gives us discernment through his Spirit to know what is good and what is not. The Bible says, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right? It does. Then we'll be able to discern his good and his pleasing and his perfect will, right? As we submit to him. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In his word, he will show you what's up. So the enemy tries to come at us with the lust of the eyes, but we're walking by faith and our eyes are spiritual and we're praying and pleading the blood over what we see. Amen? Amen. The next one is the lust of the flesh. Lord help indeed. And this manifests itself in many ways. One of the most obvious, sexual desires outside of marriage. Definitely. It could be a longing and a desire and a greed within yourself. Your flesh wants more. Because this flesh is so, we need to whip it into subjection to the Holy Spirit. But it always wants more. It always wants more. It's never satisfied. It's never satiated. It keeps on longing and yearning for more and more and more the wrong thing. It could be a slice of pie. It always wants more. You can't just say, I'm going to just do this little thing right here, and now I'm going to be cool. Because it's going to grumble for some more. The Bible says, though, that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. So what should we be living by if the flesh is weak? I don't know about you, but I don't want anything weak to be leading me. Amen? I don't want my whole purpose in life to be led by something that is weak. We must ask the Lord for vision. We must ask the Lord for direction because his vision and his direction would give a purpose to our pain, right? So in resisting the enemy so that he will flee, let's say the lust of the flesh keeps on calling out because we're talking about healthy stuff, keeps on calling out for sugar. I'm sorry, this is my struggle right now. Calling out for sugar. Calling out for it. Calling out for fatty foods. Calling out for these things. We must feed ourselves with the word of God. And this is easier said than done, but practice makes perfect. Amen? Draw near to me, the word says, and I will draw near to you, saith the Lord. Amen? So we have the lust of the flesh. Often he's trying to dangle stuff, trying to get us in the lust of the flesh. And then the most tricky of them all is the pride of life. The pride of life. It's sneaky. Because you may have your lust of the eyes down. Just the Lord rebuke you anytime something tries to come up in your eye gauge. You may even suppress your appetite enough. But the pride of life is a sneaky thing. It would start to whisper to you and say, who do they think they are? It'll start to whisper to you and say, I don't know why X, Y, and Z is happening, but they can do this, that, and the other. And this is all going on in your mind. The pride of life is what caused the fall of Satan in the first place. You got to know. You got to know that that's what caused his fall in the first place. And so it breeds dissension. It brings the spirit of dissension along with it. And this is another one. It brings the orphan spirit along with it. Do you know what the orphan spirit is? The orphan spirit is the spirit that denies that we are adopted by Christ. And therefore, we feel like we have to work for love instead of from it. So the orphan spirit is always in competition with somebody else. If Ariana is a praise and worship leader, I got to come behind her and do even more runs and just woo, all just to try to one-up her. You know you see this in the church. Come on. If pastor is preaching, I got to make sure that I run and jump and then go on the piano and play my own chords and then come back and preach some more. If I were to be operating from the orphan spirit. But God has called us as sons. We are adopted in Christ, and God is not the one who adopts people and treats them as second class citizens. He adopts us and he calls us his own. And so today we're going to squash the pride of life as well in those secret areas. In those secret areas, I can do that better than her. In those secret areas, why don't they do this for me? In those secret areas, the pride of life is so self-absorbed. In those secret areas, God must squelch this one. This is what God has to squash. He has to squash them all. But this one right here, it's the sneakiest and the subtle, most subtle one of them all. And so we're still talking about we are what we eat. Because all these things are used for us to be consumers of something that is not godly. Family, this is not about bread. It bears repeating. This is not about fruits and vegetables right now. This is not about dropping and giving 50 burpees on the stage. This is not about the TRX cable and running. This is not about all of these things that we could do on the outside without addressing the inside. This is about our beliefs. This is about the report we choose to believe, not with our mouth, but with our heart. Huh. Let's not be bewitched anymore, knowing that the enemy speaks to us with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But see, I want you to know, you know, based on the story of Adam and Eve, they had a choice in the garden. God didn't make the garden a place where, you know, he just took out all options for them to do something wrong, right? We don't have freedom until we have a choice, family, and we choose the right thing. Amen? So I don't understand why all these times, even in our own lives, we try to create these spaces where we're like so focused on not doing something or bumping into something that we get in our own way. Let's know that we have freedom in Christ, and I choose not to mess with that, him, her, whatever, because I have a choice and I'm a child of God. Amen? We have a choice. Our character isn't tested or revealed until choice is involved. This is why a lot of people get out to college and they start wilding out. They were born in the back pew. Born in the back pew. Went to church every single day all their lives. Get out to college like UC Berkeley or anywhere and wild out, never go again. This is why. Because there wasn't the idea and understanding that there is a choice that we must make and make it for the Lord. Amen? This is why you see in a lot of churches, all the PKs, the pastor's kids, is wilding out because there's no choice. They don't understand that they have a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Huh. God did not create a fail-safe environment in the garden, but he kept the good choices and the bad choices there. The good news about it is we can look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And where the first Adam failed, the first Adam ate the fruit, the first Adam went and ran behind his wife, Jesus remained firm. Amen? When the enemy came up to Jesus and he was fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights, and he said, "Why don't you turn that stone into bread?" Jesus said, "Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When the devil tried to make Jesus exalt himself and test the word of God, he said, "You will not put the word of God to a test. I will not presume on God. I will not presume based on your false, inaccurate interpretation of scripture." And when the enemy said, "I'm going to give you everything around here if you would just worship me," Jesus gave him his papers. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, serve the Lord your God and serve him only." And guess what, family? We may have, before we were saved, been patterned after the first Adam. But what I love about my God is that a loving Savior came down to this earth, and he came and he died as me in the name of Jesus, so that I am patterned after the second Adam. And the things that Jesus did, I can now step into. I can now walk into. I can now say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because it is written. Huh? And so we don't have to be bound anymore to the lies and the tricks of the enemy, to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? We are hooked up and tied up and tangled up in the word of the Lord and who he is, and that connection that Adam severed in fear of being vulnerable to God. Jesus brought it back and closed the gap. Jesus brought it back and closed the gap. So no longer do I have to hide. No longer do I have to hide. No longer do I have to hide and feel like I'm unworthy and feel afraid to be vulnerable. But because of Christ, because of Jesus, I can cast every care on him because he cares for me. My God, my God, my God. See, the first Adam became a living being. But the last Adam, that is Jesus, was a life-giving spirit. And so, are we giving life because we're modeled after the second Adam? Are we giving life wherever we go? Are we giving life wherever we go? We are what we eat, so what have we been eating? What lie have we consumed in our spirit that has made its way to our beliefs? You're going to give some time to think about it. Come on, it's all right. I'm quiet too. What have we been, anything, any part of our lifestyle of sin that is influencing us is under the influence of a lie. We believed a lie somewhere. And so the question is, what are we consuming through our eye gauges, through what we're looking at, through our flesh, and through our own inner man, through pride? What are we consuming? See, fam, the devil's going to do what the devil's going to do. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people are going to blame it on the devil, blame it on the devil, blame it on the devil. It's really them blaming it on the devil. Oh, I'm going to take away my whole. You saw Eve did that with the quickness. It's this snake right here. It came over here. It told me to eat this. And so that's why I made the decision in my mind not to serve you anymore, but to serve him. No. He's going to do what he's going to do. But what are you going to do when he comes at you? And really, we're not even focusing on him. He's going to come, but our focus is on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We are what we eat, so it's time to start consuming every word of God he has said concerning us. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are seated in heavenly places. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we have the authority to condemn. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Huh? We are a holy nation, a chosen people, a people belonging to God, a royal priesthood. Huh? What has he said concerning you? You are awesome, my child. You are beautiful, my child. You are wise. Huh? You are not a liar. You are not a thief. What has he said concerning you? You are a worshiper. You worship in spirit and in truth. What has he said concerning you? Because at the end of the day, if we see something on us that is not like him, we can trace it back to what we eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord glory and praise right now. Give the Lord glory, praise, and honor right now. He's worthy of the praise and honor. Oh, he cares so much about you that he wants to change your spiritual eating habits now. He cares so much about you that he's looking at the spiritual junk that you've been putting in your mouth, in your heart, in your spirit, and plucking them out even now. Give God glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.